I'm amazed by anyone who could have kids. It legitimately fills me with like anxiety.
Well, you got a vasectomy, so it wouldn't happen.
I got a vasectomy.
I hope you're that 1% that it does happen.
Fuck
to.
You.
I would love it.
Fuck
dude.
You.
Oh, just to watch you change a diaper with you.
You'll be in my suicide notes.
Well, what are you scared of? Like, what is cringe about
getting,
it to you?
Some diarrhea on my finger and then in my mouth by accident. Has that ever happened?
Yeah, but you've. Yes, but it's also like you'll go to Ecuador and take like drugs and eat meat.
Yeah, you can't do that with a 2-year-old. That's what I'm scared of, for real. You can't do that shit with a 2-year-old.
Also, it says you're not scared about the diarrhea in your mouth. You're scared of the lack of freedom you get from being a parent. Well, yeah,
100%.
There's truth to that.
I'm gonna watch you shine, gonna watch you grow, gonna paint a sign so you'll always know. As long as one and one is two, there could never be a father.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast. I'm Ari Shaffir. I'm the host of this podcast almost every week. In fact, I would say I've been the host every single week. Should I have a guest host on here? It'd be tough to call it Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast and have Bobby Lee interviewing, you know, Sam Morril. It would be difficult. By the way, I did an episode of We Might Be Drunk. It's out right now. Guys! Today's episode. Oh, I got a good idea for a song. I will be your father. I will be your father figure. Who's that? Who is that? That's going in. Guys, welcome to the podcast. Today, special announcement. Chris DiStefano, or as you might know him, Chris DiStefano, is on the podcast today talking about being a father. But the reason he's on is because he has a new special out called Speshy Weshy. It's on Netflix right now. Netflix is a streaming platform that used to pride itself on not censoring comedians, and now they're quite the opposite. But it is still a fucking massive platform, and it doesn't lag like the old Comedy Central app used to do. I begged them. I said, please, just put this point stuff to the YouTube. They're like, no, we want to point it to the app. I'm like, the app lags. I showed them. I played a Mrs. Pat story. Press play on the app and on fucking YouTube. And the Miss Pat story on their app took an extra fucking 15 seconds to play because it just kept fucking starting up. Not to mention no comments, whatever. Ari, you're being fucking nebbishy. This is what it looks like when you're seeing a Jew complaining for no reason at all. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Chris DiStefano is a fucking hilarious, and go see his special right now on Netflix.com. Nope, just Netflix, the app. It's called Speshy Weshy. The guy always kills. You're going to fucking love it. Cholis also has a special out on YouTube.com called This Year's Material. I should mention that as well. But today, it's all about Chris DiStefano. Next week, actually, will be Joe List. Just a teaser for that. Guys, so me and him did this podcast. It's all about being a father. I am not a father. I have multiple kids that are in heaven because of the lax abortion laws in this country. That's right. I availed myself 2 times of the right to murder a child in the womb. That's right. I do think it's murder. I do think it's murder, and I went ahead and did it anyway. Yeah, I'm not one of these people who are like, it's not, life doesn't start at conception. I believe it does start at conception, and I believe that my freedom and my happiness is more important than someone else's human life. In fact, if somebody were to bother me, like a homeless guy, and he's like, I'm camping out in the front, and he was like annoying, not the one that like looks away in shame because you're like, I know you're better than me, you're a homeful person, I'm a homeless person, so I should look away, you should be able to have your life. No, I'm not talking about that kind. The kind that's like, a dollar, and you're like, nah. He's like, oh, you can't, you don't have a dollar? That kind? Dude, no cameras? Fucking slit throat. How? Why would you? Why wouldn't you? What, you say every life is precious? No, dude, there's a homeless guy outside the Comedy Cellar, and he said something once that made me realize who he was. He said, you look like someone from, and he named a yeshiva in Israel, one of the seminaries, the type of thing that I went to in Jerusalem. I think, which one was it? I don't know. Torah Academy of Doing Your Taxes, or I'm not really sure which one it was, but he said that. He goes, you look like, and because Jews all look alike, you know, and it's not true. And I realized, like, he used to be a Shiva Bachar. He used to go, he was a Jew, Orthodox Jew, and now he's a fucking crackhead. Like, for real. He's got curly hair. You'll see him out there. He's got curly, like, dark blonde brown hair, and he was an Orthodox Jew, and it all fell to shit. It all went to to, I was going to say to pot, but it went to dope, crack or heroin or whatever. And he's out there all the time fucking scratching. Dude, he used to be a legit fucking Jew. Speaking of, Ari Shaffir Jew is being recorded June 11th on Saturday and June 12th on Sunday in Brooklyn, New York at the Roulette Intermedium. It's right near where the fucking Kevin Durant plays. Not the Staples Center, but their version of it. Brooklyn's version of it. What is it? You know, where the fucking Nets play. Where the Flat Earther goes. Get tickets right now at arishafir.com. The first show Saturday, I believe, is sold out. So you want to get either the late show Saturday or the late show Sunday would be the last time I'll ever do Ari Shaffir Jew. I'm looking right now at all my notes on the wall. So that's going to be a fucking sick show too. Check it out. I'm excited. I've been doing it on the road and it's been fucking fun. I've got coming up Louisville. In no specific order, in May, Louisville, Kansas City, Jacksonville with Adrian Appalucci. I'm doing a residency at the Creek in the Cave in Austin, Texas, starting on Tuesday, May 24th, going all the way through Sunday, once a night. Get tickets to that, and that's it. And then I'm done. And then I'm done with the Ari Shaffir Jew forever. The following week in Minneapolis and Chicago at the Pantages and the Vic, June 17th and 18th, I've got my next hour. It's already fucking pretty much ready to record another special because, this one was so far behind. Anyway, let's talk about Chris DiStefano. He's a father, you guys. And I have murdered children, and he has seen them through. I never asked him if he had any abortions or if he would do it now. I get the feeling that if it was a son, he would not do it. And if it was a daughter, he'd consider it. No way his wife does it. I got to tell you this. We'd recorded this podcast, and it was great. And he was very honest. He was very honest, which I like. A lot of parents are unable to go that there's any negative to being a parent. But Chris was very honest. Again, go see Speci Weshi on Netflix right now. And let him know. Guys, I think I have the number one podcast for fans reaching out to the guests of the podcast to let them know they did a great job. So as always, keep reaching out to them. Say, I saw you. Fucking, that was great. Or I like this part. Or quote a joke even. Definitely go see his special and say, I saw your special because of Ari Shaffir. And here's my favorite bit. That would make me happy. It'd be easier to get more guests and get a guy like Chris, who's hilarious, always back on the podcast. Afterwards, he goes, you want to go to the Yankee game? And I go, yeah, sure. I'm a Yankee fan. He's a Yankee fan. He's got great stories about sneaking into Yankee games a long time ago. And he got me tickets. But Chris DiStefano is the mayor of New York sports. He got us fourth row behind home plate. Just barely there. I mean, I could toss an egg at the fucking SNL writer guys. Alex English and the other dudes were all there in the front row. The Lorne Michaels seats were four rows behind them and one over. And Chris DiStefano, and I was like, how'd you get this? From like an agent or something? He goes, no, I just know New York sports. Dude, what a fucking time. So we went up there. I can't express to you how cool his hookups are. I am a Yankee fan. I've never sat down there ever in my life. I've gone down there to take a picture after the game. So we get there, and it's like you go in a separate entrance, right? And then they take you to some other room, like upstairs. And they go, well, you can buy the buffet for $75. It's like an hour before the game. And Chris's like, no. And he makes a call. He gets led down by this lady named Debbie, who's worked for the Yankees for 48 years. Wild experience. Leads us down. And to where they said there were snacks, fucking filet mignon, lamb chops, a whole Italian section for the fat fucks, desserts like crazy, the spread, you couldn't believe it. You couldn't believe it. Better than any Jewish spread I've ever seen. Why? Because there was meat and milk together, but also because it was high-level food. We gorged ourselves. I mean, gorged ourselves. I'm trying not to drink right now because I'm trying to look good for my special. But this is recording? It is. But trying to look. Oh, so, and I was like close. I was like, I'll get a beer. Then Chris said, I'll get a water. I was like, you know what? I get a water too. But could have gotten beers. Went down there. And so then afterwards, they lead us to our seats. They have some lady fucking taking an order. I got hot tea. She goes, I'll go get it for you. Popcorn in the boxes, like the old style fucking movies. It was so fucking bomb. And the Yankees won. It was a great fucking day. Thank you, Chris DiStefano. I appreciate you coming on this podcast. You guys should all watch a special. But also, that fucking hookup at Yankee Stadium, dude. He got on the big screen. He got on the big screen. They put him on the big screen. You got to check out his Instagram. Check out my Instagram, too, for notices on things like Ari Shaffir's Renamed Storytelling Show that happened last night. And check out my Instagram on who was there. What a fucking show. I don't announce these things ahead of time. I do announce them afterwards on who you missed. So you want to follow this podcast. You want to follow my Instagram for the early announcements on who's due to do it. And you want to check out arishaffir.com. And I'll put up the links for tickets there all the time. But you got to get on there fast because these shows are fucking fire. He got on the big screen. They stick a camera in his face. Listen, the camera guy at the fucking Madison Square Garden is awesome. He's like, I'm going to put you on. You have any plans? Yeah. I guzzled a fucking bottle of water last time. And he goes, thank you for not guzzling beer and getting it all over me. I get it. Everyone guzzles their beer, right? Yeah. Easy peasy. Nah. Water. Well, I'm not the water champ, but I am the water prince. Anyway, they put him on, and he raises his hands. He's like, I'm on Yankee. He's been on every fucking Jumbotron from Madison Square Garden, Citi Field, where the lowly Mets play. What the fuck is that one where the fucking Nets play? That's, you know, in Brooklyn, whatever that one is, he's been on there. And the last one was the New York Yankees at Yankee Stadium. He's never been on that Jumbotron, and he got on. And you should have seen him. He raised his hands. I'm on the fucking Jumbotron. He raised his hand, and the crowd just did nothing. They didn't give a fuck about this dude. I mean, they couldn't have been bothered less. Everyone, you see him glance up, and they all go, nah, I'd rather scroll Instagram than look at this fuck. Sorry, Chris. I'd like to keep it a secret. I'd like to say that you fucking rocked that crowd, but you didn't. We both know you didn't. And I could have just kept it to myself. But that's not the guy I am, DiStefano. That's not the guy I am. I'm a fucking reporter. And I'm reporting on how much you bombed on the Jumbotron. He was even saying it. So he goes, I'm bombing. The guys, let's start the episode, shall we? I think we should. The guy put me on the Jumbotron afterwards. I was just fucking having a good time, laughing. I just dance when I'm in a good mood. And when Chris DiStefano bombed on that Jumbotron, I'm like immediately like, And the guy turned. He saw it because they went dance next. Everybody likes to dance. Nobody likes Chris DiStefano at Yankee Stadium, but everybody likes to dance. And the guy turned, and I saw it for a second. Fucking Ari on the Jumbotron real quick. Not bombing. Joining in with the fucking vibe. Let's start the episode. Guys, don't forget, check out Chris DiStefano on Instagram and all that. Check him out, whatever, you know. Chrissy D. What is this fucking... I don't have my phone. And check out my Patreon. Shit, I gotta put a Patreon up. I had it. I've recorded it. I didn't fucking put it up. Marissa, fucking put that Patreon up Well, it'll already be up. This is out in a few hours, so... Yeah, so there'll be a new one up, a solo Patreon. Don't forget to write in your questions in Patreon, patreon.com/Ari Shaffir, about travel stories, about sex adventures, topics, questions, whatever, trouble with the law, or just general fucking, you know, what do you think of the slap? What do you think of fucking Jussie Smollett? What do you think of fucking, I don't know, airline fucking neck pillows? Anything you want, and I'll just go off on it with my friends or with me. Guys, start the episode. Ari Shaffir Skepetank, episode 4. I believe it's 470, which means, damn, we're 30 away from 500. I mean, how much longer can you keep this shit going? Episode 470. Father figure? Yeah, that's not bad. Father figure. Father. Not father time. Dad. World's worst dad. Nah, father figure. Father figure. Oh, that'll go with the song. With Chris DiStefano. Or Chris DiStefano. I think it's DiStefano. Starts now. Yeah, he said he doesn't want to rush it, and he doesn't know what he's going to use it for. Like, either a full story about whatever he's talking about. Like, let's say he saw, like, a funeral fire in India. He goes, I'm either going to write a whole thing about that, or I'll use that as a reference for something else, for, like, my dad's funeral.
Yeah.
So he goes, I don't want to waste it until I let it set in.
Yeah, and I also feel like there's that thing, you know, Malcolm Gladwell, like, that 10 years, 10,000 hours, where it's like, he's put in his 10,000 hours already, or 10 yeah. years, so it's like, in the beginning, I think you have to. I think there's an obligation. I got to keep going, keep going. But I feel like an internal thing, like, even though, you know, compared to some people, I haven't done anything, I'm like, I've been doing it for 10 years, though, and it's like, now it's time to, like, for me to, like, just take a little step back with the hope of going that much further. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, look at it as, like, crops. Like, a fallow year is part of the cycle of crops. Yeah. Like, you got to let it go.
Yeah, and you also, like, you know, they say over and over and over again, like, you have to live. Like, I've noticed, even, you know, I was starting to do, like, a good amount of material about being on the road, and it's
me
like
too.
That's
fine. That's when I took off. I was like, this is too much travel shit.
Yeah, it's like, I don't, you know, I was doing bits about, like, travel toothpaste and stuff, and it's like, no, dude, like, what about, I have kids.
And who's gonna relate to that? Yeah. You know what they're gonna relate to more? My fucking neighbor who sets off fireworks on July 10th.
Yeah.
Scaring my dogs.
Exactly.
That's something we can all, like, you know what I mean? That's way more relatable.
Yeah, or like, and I miss this, or like, you know, my girl told me a parent fell in the pool at one of my daughter's swim meets. It's like, you talk about that because he got too excited.
Yeah, he got too excited.
So
and
it's
he
like,
fell in?
And he fell in, like,
was
a
he,
dickhead.
Like, walking along, like, come on. Like,
yeah,
leaning?
No, like a dick, like, he was, like, he went up to, like, cheer on his daughter because she was in the lead, and then he slipped off the edge and fell into the pool like an asshole.
What a
and it's
dick.
Like, that's what I should have been at, but instead, I was in Indianapolis at the Egyptian Room.
Not even knowing what you're doing.
Not even knowing. I got a video of it, a voice note of what happened when I got off stage. And it's like, you know, so why not just be at the swim meet? Like, I think you and I were talking last week or 2 weeks ago, and, you know, you said, yeah, like, it sucks to, like, have to, like, look at your schedule and be like, can I make this? Can I make that? And it's like, that's why I want to take 2 months off and be like, anything in June and July I can make.
Well, you just did a special.
Yeah.
Speshy Weshy, out today.
Netflix,
on
baby.
Netflix. And Netflix.com.
That's it. Yeah. And Netflix is a
remember
joke.
Remember they used to send you links for Netflix so, like, you could enter into your computer and open up the thing?
Yeah. Netflix.com. Yeah, no. Now it's just on that app.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can scan some probably QR code off your fucking
to just get
father's
it going.
Asshole. Yeah. And just,
yeah. You should start doing that. Put it on father's assholes.
Yeah.
Because you're already scanning him.
Yeah, exactly. Should scan it, dude. QR code. It's all about QR codes now. I self-produced that special, which I think is the way to do it. So what you'll see on Netflix, they had no edits and no notes. They bought it as is.
That's what you want.
Yeah, that's what
because
I want.
Because they're so, you'll be quiet on this part, but they're so sensory now.
Yeah.
And they all are. So at the point where you're like, hey, get out of here. Let me do my thing.
No, I don't have to be quiet on this part. Okay. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I appreciate the opportunity for Netflix. I really do. But I don't need them, and I have a fine career with just doing it the way I've been doing it on Patreon, podcast, and YouTube. Netflix is a nice bonus, but if they said tomorrow, hey, your special's off Netflix, I'd say, all right, cool.
Okay.
No problem. Then I'm going to put it right on YouTube, or I'll put a portion of it right on my Patreon wall and try to make money there, and if that doesn't work, then I'll just continue to do my podcast, and I'm fine.
Yeah, I think that's how Rogan was at Spotify, where they're like, so much money, and he's like, I think it was like, yeah, over some years versus like what I was probably going to make over those same years.
Yeah.
It's just all at once.
It's just all at once. You're just getting it. It's just literally getting the money up front. And I think, like, that's the freedom of it. Like, I don't know how long this will last where we can, like, the artists have most of the control. But
do
for now.
Shit. Yeah, get on a roof and have fun with your friends.
Look at this. I mean, we're on a roof right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're just
the best one I did up here was with Maddie Smith. She's Irish, so it's her skin. I didn't realize that afterwards. She was, like, squinting and, like, suffering under the sun.
You
the
did
whole
it in
time.
The summer?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
And she was like, it's fine. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Maddie Smith. Yeah, I still never met her, but I
oh,
keep
really?
Hearing good things about
yeah,
her.
Yeah, she's funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Great. That's fucking congratulations, man. Especially
thank
wishing.
You, bro. Well, you're the one that
on
talked
Netflix.
Me into it.
On doing it?
On doing it. Well, you were the one that were like, remember I kept calling you and be like, hey, what do you think of this? And you were like, hey, if they tell you you can put some of it on YouTube and they'll put on Netflix, then do it.
Yeah.
And I did it.
But they got to, like, promise.
Yeah, that's a promise.
They can't be like, well, we'll see. We might.
No.
Like,
they promise. Yeah. And then a bonus, they put me in the Netflix is a joke comedy festival. So, and they paid me decent for that, too.
That's cool.
So I was like, all right, good. So now, yeah. So now I got some Netflix money. I just wanted really people, you know, because people see me on podcasts and YouTube or whatever. But I want to be like, hey, you can also see me on that.
There's something to this thing of like, it's like, oh, you've never been on that? Remember that the one bar show or cafe show that they wouldn't book you?
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't even care.
Yeah.
But what the fuck already?
Yeah. Just let me on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a coffee shop show. Book
but
me
I
already.
Just, yeah. That was like that when I first, well, I first started that show Cabin. Remember Cabin?
Cabin, yeah.
I never got booked on Cabin. But then I finally did. But in the beginning, I was like, I had already done David Letterman, but I had never done Cabin. And I was like, damn. But then finally, Rebecca let me on.
I mean, I told her not to.
Yeah. I missed that place, Cabin.
Cabin was great.
I miss Rebecca. She moved to Austin. Everyone went to Austin.
Yeah.
You think they're going to come back?
Rebecca's not coming back. Creek was already done.
Right.
Before.
But I'm saying, you think the people that went to Austin will eventually come back?
Yeah, some of them will.
Not Rogan and Segura.
Not
and
Rogan
guys.
And Segura. They're raising their kids. So they're like, oh, I don't want to be. Because I also see Rogan. They see Austin as opposed to LA and not as opposed to any city.
Yeah.
And you don't want to raise your kids in LA.
No.
I mean, you say whatever you want about it. Even far out of LA, it's still like fucking pushed by Hollywood. And
yeah.
It's just like.
I don't need it.
Ugh, they're garbage out there. Hi, everybody. As you know, me and my friend Chris D are both stand-up comedians, so we're on the road constantly. Chris, what are you
going
to be coming up?
May 5th, I will be in Los Angeles at the Peppermint Lounge, Cinco de Chrissy show.
Nice.
May 14th, Count Basie, Red Bank, New Jersey. I believe it's sold out. Thank you very much. May 26th, Phoenix, Arizona. Oh, and May 24th, the Vulcan in Austin, Texas.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
May 24th?
Yeah, you're going to be there?
I will be there.
Do you want to come do the show?
I'm doing a Creek in the Cave run. So
can you do a spot? If 5-10 minute spot?
Yeah, maybe.
I got two shows, 8 and 10 at the Vulcan.
Yeah, I could do the second one for
sure. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Ari's gonna come on the show.
Oh, that's cool.
May 24th. Because May 23rd I'm doing Joe Rogan. I think. He said he texted me you're in, and then I haven't heard from him since.
That means you're
okay,
in.
Cool.
Unless he dies, unless the fucking CIA gets to him.
Yeah.
I will be there in Austin the same time. I'm doing a whole fucking run because I'm preparing for my special. My next special, Ari Shaffir Jew, in New York, June 11th and 12th in Brooklyn. Shit.
Where are you doing your special?
Where you did yours.
Gramercy.
The Roulette.
Oh, the Roulette.
Yeah.
I'm going to come. I'll be here June 11th and 12th. I think June 11th is Father's Day.
It might be, yeah.
I'm going to come and be like, this could have been you, pussy. I'm going to come with my kids and they'll heckle you.
Yeah, you suck.
I'll be like, Jew.
You
Jew.
Have no leadership qualities.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to leave it in if it's all Jew. And then I'll be leading up to that. I got Jacksonville in May. I got Kansas City in May. And I got, God damn it, Ari. AriShaffir.com/tour for tickets. Austin. There's one I'm missing.
Then after the special, you're going to take some time off.
I am working the next week because I plan the special afterwards. So June 17th, I'm in Minnesota at a theater, the Pantages. And June 18th, I'm at the Vic in Chicago. And then I'm done till September.
Which is going to be beautiful.
Which is going to be great.
We'll hang out a lot or are you going to leave
New
York?
No, I'll do a I have a writing seminar in Europe for a week. And I'll have like a bachelor party in Florida for a few days. But yeah, I'm hanging.
Mostly you'll be in New York.
Come up here. Fucking grill.
Come to Staten Island. Come in my pool.
Okay.
Seriously.
I'll come inside your pool.
I would love it. Come inside right in my pool. Wait till my kids get in.
I got some floaters.
Yeah, yeah. You have floaters on the floaties.
Daddy, is this kombucha?
Yeah, yes.
all right, for sure. Right. I'll do that.
There you go.
Yeah, I'll bring my fucking Speedos. And
bring it, dude.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My daughter, she goes to school on Staten Island.
Yeah.
Last week,
yeah.
They came home. This is because it's just old. Staten Island's like the last borough. It's like the last bastion of
neighborhood.
Like. Yeah, it's like real deal. Like it's all different races. My block is pretty racially diverse, but it's like cops, firemen, like blue collar workers. Like it's like real families. And my daughter goes to a Catholic school out there, and she goes. She came home, and they had a pick. They're teaching about men and women and roles. And she came home, and she had to color. It was just coloring. She had to color. It was a picture of a man, and the man was like a cartoon guy, and he was he had a hammer and nails and like a utility belt, and he was like hammering a nail into the wall. And the woman, the woman that she was coloring had was by a kitchen with an apron on, and it was like color like men and women. Like
do different things.
But yeah, like women are cooking and men are building things, and that's like what that's the color.
I thought they weren't allowed to do that anymore.
That's what I'm saying. That's what they gave. It's like this whole thing about gender and all that
hasn't gotten there.
No, and I'm not saying I'm against any of that. I think whatever, you know, people evolve. But my whole thing has always been, hey, dude, I'm not paying. I don't know you as an adult teacher. I'm not paying you to talk to my kids about gender, reading, writing, arithmetic.
Yeah, there's that's why I'm paying now. You. There's a backlash. Yeah. I have a right to teach my kid whatever the fuck I want. And if it's like, almost like, hey, I'm an American history ex dad, and I want to teach my kid how to be racist. And it's like, I guess that's your right.
That's what it is. You know, like in the colonial times, like the state never got involved in family issues. Like in George Washington's time, if you killed your wife, okay, if you killed your wife, and
I'm listening.
The state would say, that's up to you. Like, you have no, if the wife's family wants to come and press charge, they could do that. But the state is like, that's
not
a,
on us.
That's a family matter, right?
Wow.
But if you went out and killed someone in a bar, then it's a state matter. So this whole thing of the state getting involved in family is like a new concept. Like the founding fathers would have been rolling over in their graves if they knew the state was mandating vaccines and masks. That was not America. They were like, no.
Do whatever you want.
The state is not involved.
Yeah, I think the early people were way more libertarian. Like, do whatever the fuck you want. We're not going to put army people in your house.
No.
It's your life.
No, they just come from that in Britain. They were like, we don't want, you know, the English were doing that. They were like, we don't want that shit.
Yeah.
Dude, it's
got no one got better at Photoshop than every New Yorker during those vaccine mandates.
Yes, I know, dude. Yeah.
I seen him in line doing it. Like, oh wait, it's a vaccine. Excuse me, and then they like go back in the bathroom.
You know what? You know what's so funny and fitting? The guy who was selling all the fake vaccine cards in my old neighborhood where I used to live in Bay Ridge died of COVID.
No, really?
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
I mean, it's just funny. It's poetic.
That's hilarious.
But he's one of those guys.
Like the guy giving out fake IDs to teenagers dying of alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, he just died. I found out he died, and I was like, well, how did he die? He was like, oh, he caught COVID like that last Delta wave in January, February, killed
him.
Yeah.
Wow. The worst one I heard was some lady got vaccinated, then went to an Oakland A's like preseason game, but it was like the day after she got vaccinated, like wait 2 weeks, she goes, I want to see the preseason.
Yeah.
Gone.
Dead from COVID or blood clot?
COVID.
No, right there.
No, from disappointment from the A's.
The A's. A's stink.
Were you trying to have a kid or it just happened?
No, so both girls I have, both of my daughters, pretty much same situation. First one.
One more stroke than you thought you had?
Dude, their mom, Jasmine, is so gorgeous. Like, my type is like voluptuous Puerto Rican girl. And it's like.
Okay, from what I've seen, your type is not just voluptuous Puerto Rican, but like. Will you make my life hell?
Yes. Yes. When I look at you, I look for markers. Tattoo on the tit, scar, multiple baby daddies. I'm like, this is going to put the treadmill on incline, and that's what I want. I want my life to get harder. And she fit all those boxes. And but we're still together all these years later. But I was like, oh, this will be fun. And then we had she got pregnant on the second date. And we had Yeah. Yep.
You've never been a condom guy, were you?
No. Well, not with her. No way. I took it off. I think we used it for like the first half of the first time we had sex, and I was like, I can't do this. And she's like, I just take it off. But then I will say, because some people be like, oh, she trapped you. No, dude, I didn't tell her I was coming. I was just like so into her, and it felt so good that I just came. And she was like, did you just fucking come? And I was like, yeah. She's like, what are you doing? Like, She was like, I already have a kid. She already had a son.
Oh,
she's like,
God.
I already have a son. I have a job. I have a whole life. She's like, what the fuck? You're a comedian. I don't even know you.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, my God.
Anyone also who has a kid is way less percentage chance they're going to fucking do the right thing on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And like, just not going to happen.
No. And so we didn't actually talk for like a couple of weeks because she was like, not mad at me, but she was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And, well, you can't blow loads in strangers, dude.
I know. And then Chrissy Chaos every Tuesday. And then she calls me, and it was September 11th, the morning of September 11th, 2014. And I was at Side Splitters in Tampa, where the owner the previous night had told me that he knocked a woman unconscious in the parking lot and was proud of it. He was like, you want to see?
Wait, that's the old owner?
Yeah. He's like, you want to see the security tapes? I knocked this woman's fucking head off with a right hook. I was like, no,
wow.
Thanks. So 9/11, 2014, she comes, Jasmine comes, and she's like, hey, like we hung out. She's like, you know, she comes to Side Splitters. She looks beautiful. And she's like, we go back to the hotel, and I'm thinking like, oh, it's going to be like sex, whatever it is. And she goes, hold on. She goes, and she takes out of her bag a positive pregnancy test.
No fucking way. Yeah. Wait, you flew her to Florida, or it was just, oh my God.
I think she paid for it. She was just like, I thought she was just coming because we were going to like hook up and have fun on jet skis. She's like, oh, I want a weekend in Florida. Her kid was with her the kid's father at the time. So I was like, okay.
My God.
And then she goes, And then she goes, listen, I'm pregnant. She goes, I flew down here to tell you face to face.
That's nice.
Yeah, she was like, because, you know.
That's a man.
She was like, I obviously don't want to go through with this. I barely know you. I already have a child. She's like, I would just ask that, you know, you be there with me like when I take care of this.
And, wait, she was going to do the right thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was the one that talked her out of it.
What?
I was the one that
Why?
Was like,
because your dumb fucking Guinea upbringing?
Yeah, because my Catholic upbringing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I like got down on one knee and proposed to her right then
no!
and there. I was
what
about to.
What a fucking idiot.
I know, dude.
I mean, she's cool. I'm picturing this from like, I'm not picturing what she ended up as.
Yeah.
You know, I'm picturing it in the place. And I'm yeah. like, what, if I was with you, I'd be like, Chris, can I talk to you outside for a second?
Yeah. yeah. Well, no. Well, at the time, like my friends at the time were like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, good friends.
Because all my friends, you'll meet one of my friends tonight at the Yankee game, Patty Flyballs, who was the reason why I even went to that bar and saw Jasmine, because we were going to hang out with Patty Flyballs' sister's friends. And then I met Jasmine. So Pat was like, what are you fucking nuts?
What are you nuts?
I know, dude. And then she goes, And then I was like, listen, I was like, at the time, I was like 29 years old. I was like, I'd already went through school. The comedy career was kind of just beginning. I was like, I did this. I was like, let's have the baby. And she was like, Chris, are you out of your mind? And I was like, because, you know, at that point, I was just like, yeah, like, let's have the baby. Oh, and then she was like, all right, I'm only going to have this baby, though. But like, you need to be there for like. You need to like do the right thing.
And at that point, you're like, oh no, that's not part of that deal.
Yeah, no, no, we're not getting married.
You'll raise it alone.
Yeah, raise it alone. No, and she
goes, I'll be there for birthdays once in a while.
And she goes, you're gonna be, you know, if you be there, and I promised her, and I still am. And then we tried to make it work, like as a couple, for like 2 or 3 years. It just didn't work out. We broke up.
Yeah.
She wound up getting another relationship, right? And we were happily co-parenting. Then the pandemic hits. Right. I go away to go do a pilot in L.A.
Yeah.
I don't see them for 3-4 weeks. Miss my family so much. Get back home from that pilot. I wasn't even living there. I had an apartment at the time. Get back home to that apartment. Go over to see my daughter. Jazz is there. We're hanging out. Kiss, make out, whatever. Have sex. Now I have my 10-month-old daughter.
No.
Yep. And now we're back to...
So what, 2 for 3?
Yep. And I bought a house. You came to my house on Staten Island. Now I have a whole thing. I have a whole family, a whole life.
Having a kid made you buckle down?
100%.
It did.
Wow. 100%. Having 2 children now, it's kind of like had me look outside myself and be like, yeah, dude, I couldn't keep carrying on the way I was carrying on. It's like now I'm responsible for shaping 2 girls' lives. So it's like, listen, the shit I've said on podcasts and things I've done, whatever, it's just out there.
Yeah.
But it's like you got to try to be a little bit better.
I mean, Joey Diaz is a great parent. And
yeah.
He has... tons of stories about like kidnapping and like I mean, legit felonies
for a reason. And that's my thing. It's like when people sometimes ask me like, oh, what if your daughters hear this? What if your daughters hear this thing?
Yeah, she's going to have to.
I'm like, right? Well, when they hear them, I'll talk to her about it. I'll tell her. I'll say, hey, this is why daddy did this. This is what's going on.
Daddy did this to put.
Yeah, daddy did. Yeah, I was like, do you like that you have a brand new Corvette? Well, that's because daddy stories, you know. Spotify bought daddy stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't regret
anything. Was it hard being a parent in the beginning? Like even like changing diapers and shit. That's so not you.
Yeah.
I met you not as that.
No. You know what, man? It's one of those things where like I just felt like people always say, "Oh, it's not the right time to have kids or whatever. I'm not ready yet." Nature just makes you ready. Like I just had, what am I gonna do? Let my kids sit in their own shit and piss? No, I just had to figure it out. And you know, now, you know, listen, the raising Delilah at Delilah's age, that's the older one. When she was younger, we didn't have as much help, you know, more cramped apartment. But now, you know, because of comedy, like I can afford a little bit more help. So we have help that comes and helps us. So I still do it. I'm still a very present. We're always there. But like, you know, we have a kind of a nanny. You know, Jazz doesn't have to work. She stays home. She's more of a stay-at-home mom that does fitness classes. I put a gym in the garage.
That's
so she works from home.
Weren't you also saying like the space itself, having more space, was helping you guys?
Hell yeah, having more space, because now it's like there would be times where like we broke up like 100 times when we were living at a small apartment because like we would get into a fight, there was nowhere to go. Now we argue and one of us would go to the basement or the top floor in the gym.
I mean, you want
to
storm off and you're already at the end?
Yeah.
You have to keep walking like you're a fucking broken player in a video game.
Exactly. So now instead of, you know, me storming out and be like, I'm going to get a hotel or going to get another apartment, I just go to the next room, we call off for an hour, I come back in and she's serving dinner. Because she, what I love about Jasmine is she's still like kind of, she's new school, old school. Like she's still like you can't, like she,
that
you know.
That is old school. Where like, it's like, no, like even if like the old Italian, like you cheated on me, I'll throw a pan at you, but then I need that pan back.
I got to make, that's the thing. Like I can't tell you how many times Jazz and I have gone into like blowout fights and then 30 minutes later, she's like, what do you want to eat?
Wow.
Like right away, she's like, what do you want to eat? Or she's like, she's the woman that's like, you know, she's all about like the new movements and feminism and all that, and especially having daughters. But she's also like, just be a woman. And she always says woman up. She's like,
really?
All these women, she's like, all they do is fucking bitch and complain. She's like, just woman up.
Just be a fucking woman.
Yeah, woman up.
That's hilarious.
How people always say man up. She's always like, yeah, woman up.
I'm amazed by anyone who could have kids. It legitimately fills me with like anxiety.
Well, you got a vasectomy, so it wouldn't happen.
I got a vasectomy.
I hope you're that 1% that it does happen.
Fuck
to.
You.
I would love it.
Fuck
dude.
You.
Oh, just to watch you change a diaper with you.
You'll be in my suicide note.
I would love it.
The way Christy is going to look down on me for this, he's the reason I'm killing myself.
Oh, dude.
Tell his kid this blood's on her hands.
Well, what are you scared of? Like, what is cringe about
getting,
it to you?
Some diarrhea on my finger and then in my mouth by accident. Has that ever happened?
Yeah, but you
ah!
Yes, but it's also like you'll go to Ecuador and take like shit drugs and eat meat.
You can't do that with a 2-year-old. That's what I'm scared of for real. You can't do that shit with a 2-year-old.
Also, it says you're not scared about the diarrhea in your mouth. You're scared of the lack of freedom you get from being a parent. Well, yeah.
100%.
There's truth to that. And I will be honest with you.
Yeah.
I love my children. Like, truthfully, I love my children. Like, it's an unexplainable love. Like, when your mom and dad would say, you don't understand the love I have for you.
Yeah.
And I don't care. The thing I know what's real love, what I believe now is real love, which I have for them, is I don't care if it's reciprocated towards me.
The kids.
I don't care if they love me back. I love them. It has nothing to do with them.
But your chick is not the same way.
I love my chick, and I believe she loves me too, but I think even she would say it's not the
if
type of love we have for the kids.
I don't love you anymore. You'd be like, well, we got to split up.
Yeah. Where if my daughter said I don't love you anymore, I would say, okay, I that would crush
that
me,
hurts.
But I'd be like,
well
I'd be like,
played.
I'm not going anywhere though. I'm still going to be in your life and make sure you have everything because it's it doesn't have to be reciprocated. But so it's true love. But I will say with the true love I have for my children, which is the most powerful feeling I've ever, it's like from the universe. Like that's the thing with children is like marriage is like a piece of paper that like we've decided, but like I didn't decide to have my kids. This person was given to me from some higher power I don't understand. So even with all that connection and the deep universe, all that stuff, it is at times difficult to be like, fuck, I can't do anything without planning a million things. Like I just told you before we started the podcast, I want to buy an apartment in the city just to be here, but I can't really do that because what am I going
to
do? My kids live on Staten, my family's on Staten Island.
Dude, so when Rogan started having his kids, he had a stepdaughter already, but when he had his other kids, man, he was already doing some of this. He was like, first flight home. I gotta get, and we're like, why? Wake up at 11, take the 1 p.m. flight. Yeah. Because I got to see those kids.
Look, dude, that same thing with me. Off. I'm going Friday. I got to go next week to this week to L.A.
Yeah.
For that Netflix is a joke festival. And then
How long are you there for?
Well, that's the thing. Last flight out Wednesday night to have my shows Thursday. Wow. I have 2 shows Friday. And then I'm on that flight at 6 a.m. Saturday morning to land at 2 p.m. at JFK to take my daughters to a birthday party at 4 p.m. on Long Island. So this is what it is. So I understand that. And that's why at times it is, if I'm just being honest, it is, and I think a lot of couples do this, it is kind of appealing to break up or get a divorce because then what happens when you get a divorce is I have now a weekend where I can be like I don't have kids.
Yeah. My buddy Scott in Calgary told me that. You ever do Yuckers in Calgary?
No.
Okay, good club. But like, but he said like splitting up because when you're together, you're both – parenting all the time.
100%.
When you split up, it's you take it, I take none, and then I take it, you take none.
Which
so is actually time off.
I think even when we were co-parenting, I think even Jasmine would admit this. She had, I mean, you could just see, like, look at pictures. She ripped abs. She looked fantastic because and she still does look beautiful, but that's where she has said, I was at the top of my game, and I felt like, even looking back at my pictures, I looked healthier because I was like, oh, shit. Like, every weekend, we get some time off.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, though, I don't know that I want to go back to that because now having 2 children, now what I've realized, there's always checks and balances, right?
Right. So, I have questions for you. Go ahead.
So the problem with that, though, is, yes, I looked happier and healthier. She looked happy and healthier. Both of us, on our weekends off, missed monumental things in our children's lives that we would have seen been there. So I know that now. So now I'd be very hesitant to want to break up with her and go back to co-parenting because I'm like, yeah, I can get some freedom back, but I don't want to miss my daughter's first step.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the studies I've seen is like happiness goes down, and then parents really hate when they hear that, but fulfillment goes up. But
when, like, with what? When you divorce?
With childbearing.
Okay.
Your happiness level is decreased.
Decreased.
Yeah.
But fulfillment goes up.
Right.
So I would say yes to that.
I'm happier. It's like, well, studies show you're not. But like,
no,
stressed,
I'll be honest and transparent. I would say that's accurate. I'm certainly more, my life has meaning now. I feel me going, going out, do comedy, making money. I like I just got to take my family to Puerto Rico, back to their roots, and that was fulfilling because cool. I was like, my daughters are here, you know, their mother is here, my girl's here, my grandma, their grandma's here. I felt fulfilled, like I can give my family this. But yeah, it was very difficult to have a 10-month-old on the beach in Puerto Rico, yeah, or a 6-year-old to have to try to stop her to run into the ocean when I looked at the couple next to us is just laying down, drinking pina coladas, having the time of their life.
My buddy says, like, you don't actually go to the beach with kids. You just babysit in a new place.
I feel like when literally when I take my kids to the beach, all I'm doing is defending them from getting in the ocean. I'm standing in front of them like a hockey goalie. And yeah, that's all I'm doing, because if I don't hold my 6-year-old's hand, she will run into the fucking water, wow, and not understand that it will drown you.
Oh, she's got to teach Bandit how to do that.
She literally, we had a plunge pool in our room. Like, I splurged. I was like, you know what? I've done okay this year. I was like, I want to give my family a real vacation. We haven't taken a vacation in years. So we got a pretty expensive room and had a plunge pool. We got there at 12 o'clock. Walked to the room. 12:05, I'm brushing my teeth from the flight. We're going to take the family to the beach. Jasmine screaming, Delilah, oh my God. She had jumped, cannonballed into a 3-foot pool because she thought it was a 10-foot pool and scraped her entire leg, was gushing blood. With that, Jasmine ran to go get Delilah. My 10-month-old, who's just learning to walk, falls, smashes her head off the concrete, off the, a tiled floor in the hotel. So within 5 minutes, we are calling, asking for emergency services, band-aids, can't go to the plan we just had is out the window. So like, there is,
that
I would
say,
it's not relaxing, I would say.
Also, Renazisi's wife said this, like, once you have a second kid and they can go in two directions,
right,
every moment is a quick choice of who do I save, who's more important, who's in most trouble.
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, like, yeah, even now, like, having a 10-month-old versus a 6-year-old, it's like there's times where my 10-month-old is crying her eyes out, but my 6-year-old needs my attention. So I have to put down the crying 10-month-old that just wants to be nurtured and loved. Because I'm
the
like,
older one's putting her hand in a socket.
The 10-month-old is not going to remember this. The 6-year-old is going to be like, you chose my sister over me. So I can lie to the 10-month-old in a few years and be like, I never did that.
Wow.
But the 6-year-old is going to be like, wow, Dad, I'm your favorite. Because my daughter said to me before, she goes, you told me that I was your favorite person of all time. You can never love anyone more than you love me, but you love Violet, my little sister, as much as me. I heard you say that to Mom. So who is it, Dad?
And you're like, well, when I told you that, I didn't have Violet yet.
Yeah.
I have a deeper understanding of the world now.
Yeah.
And it's Violet. I'm sorry. It's Violet.
Yeah. Well, I know, like, Delilah, I took, because, I told her she was my Valentine on Valentine's Day, my 6-year-old. I was like, you're my Valentine. But then, of course, on Valentine's Day, I took Delilah's mother out for Valentine's Day. And Delilah was like, I remember when we were leaving, she was like, you're taking her out for Valentine's Day?
This bitch?
It was 7 p.m. on Valentine's Day. I was like, yeah, Delilah, you have school tomorrow. And she was like, don't even tuck me in tonight. That's what she said. And I was like, okay. Wow. So we go to dinner, me and Jasmine. I'm telling Jasmine, she's like, don't worry about it. Like, she'll forget it. The next morning, we wake up February 15th, and she's like, Delilah's like, you need to take me out for Valentine's Day today after school. I've been thinking about it all night. And I was like, okay, where do you want to go? She was like, remember 3 years ago? I don't even know how she remembered this. She was 3 or 4 years old. She goes, remember 3 years ago when you took me to this place, Pepino's, in Bay Ridge? We don't even live in Bay Ridge anymore. She's like, when you took me to Pepino's, I want to go there. I was like, all right. And she was like, I want to sit in the back room. I was like, okay. So I call Pepino's while she's at school, get the back room set up, all that. We're sitting in traffic, Jesus, on the Verrazano Bridge. And she goes, Dad, she goes, who is your Valentine? Is it me or Mom? And I was like, it's both of you. She goes, you need to choose right now.
Oh my God.
Is it me or is it my mom? I was like, I love your mom in a different way that I love you. And she goes, is this what you say to all the girls? And
can
I was
you
like,
imagine dating this bitch?
I know. And I said, yes, is what I said.
Well, oh,
I was like,
God.
I was like, you have many moms. I know. But I was like, Jasmine and I say it all the time. Like, it's like whoever her husband or wife is going to be in fucking trouble.
Because
she's already swimming, so she's already half trans.
Right.
If my daughter's on the swim team, she already is trans, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that counts.
Yeah.
At least you can get a scholarship.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
A trans scholarship.
Yeah.
Do you, okay, I have so many questions about this. Two things.
Yes.
One, in what ways do you feel bad for your childless friends? And then in what ways do you feel jealous of your childless friends?
The ways I feel bad for my childless friends,
yeah,
is I truly in my heart believe that you're missing out on a gift that is given to you by the only gift that the universe gives you that we can't understand or control. It's something from a higher power that none of us understand. It is truly a miracle to be able to be given this life and this gift. And I think it changes you and unlocks you in ways that you can't understand. I think it unlocks parts of your personality that you cannot unlock unless you become a parent and really love your kids. The things that's the thing I think that I feel like shit, you're missing out on to be fulfilled to the ultimate part.
Yeah.
That like the ultimate level 10 fulfillment, I think, can only be achieved being a parent. I truly believe that. Well, a parent who wants to be a parent. I think the thing that I'm jealous of is I now never again in my life can lay my head down and be fully relaxed, because even if my daughters are safe in their room, even if I'm not with them and I could see on the security camera that they're safe, all I do is think about the times, and it's so hard to stay in the present when you're a parent. I try as hard as I can, but it's so difficult for me. I think about when they're 15, 16, 17, 18, going off to college. What
you think,
can,
already like that far?
What can possibly happen to them? When, oh, you want me to just shut it? It. When I'm on the road, knowing that they're safe and sound, I'm like, at any moment a fire could break out. I remember in Long Island City, when I lived in Long Island City in 2014, when I had already met Jasmine and she had told me she was pregnant, but there was no baby yet. I remember my baby was born May 19th. This was about March, so it was closing in. I'm about 2 months left
you
to be.
You still could have killed her.
Exactly. I still could have made it happen. And I remember laying down on my pillow and taking like a deep sigh and just going, and like, because everybody was safe. I had no child to worry about. Everybody that I cared about, I knew was safe. And I remember thinking back then, like, this is going to be one of the last times I'm ever really relaxed. And sure enough, man, since May 19, 2015, I've never really relaxed 100%, because even now, I know my kids are safe. I know my family's safe. I'm worried about anything that could happen to them that I can't control. And it's very, 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 very difficult. Maybe I need to mature more.
Do you have visions of doom? Do you think about like, oh, she's hit by a car. How am I going to tell Jasmine? Yep. Am I going to see her? Am I going to like have to rush her to the hospital? What if I react? Do you have that?
Visions of doom constantly. And anytime I see anything in the news, all I do is equate it to what if that happened to me and my kids? What if that happened to me and my family? So
that to me, that's the reason that parents are annoying in the neighborhood, because they want to make, like, we have to protect my kids.
Right.
And everyone's like, dude, this isn't a real thing. Like, yeah, we're not bending over backwards for your fucking kid. But yeah, I get why you'd want them to.
It almost is at times, and you know, my life is forever changed having them, and I couldn't honestly even my youngest one, literally 11 months ago, I didn't even know who she was. And now, just 11 months later, I'm like, if I didn't have her in my life, I'd kill myself. So like, that's how powerful it is. But I will say, there have been times where you thought of, shit, like, if I didn't have kids, like, would I be like way happier even? But now that I know what it is to have kids, of course the answer is no. But if I never knew, right, I might be like, interesting. Even in relationships, like, there's been times where me and Jazz have stayed together, what we've said, just for the kids, and where we would have not had there been no children, you know? So, but that is powerful in the sense of like, oh, is that good? Whatever.
Yeah.
We just work through shit. Like, we got. Yeah. One of some box just blew off the top of Ari's roof. I love that Ari lives on top of a converted synagogue. You would do that.
Yeah.
Dude, nobody pulled off the bald in the middle, hair on the side look better than you. Like, you could have gotten real pussy like that. Like, you know how Stavros, like, makes himself look so unfuckable that everybody wants to fuck him, that girls want to fuck him. That's how I think that look was for you.
Interesting.
It looks so wild, and I'm like, I bet you a girl would be like that. You're oozing with confidence, and that's sexy.
Because you would think, with the pressure you have, you would have this hair, and I would have that hair.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, dude. I am
40 years older than you, too.
Well, no, how old are you?
I don't know, 48.
You're 48 years old?
No stress, bro.
Are you really 48? Wow, you look, honestly, dude, I would say you look pretty
just
incredible.
Thank you.
You look pretty incredible for 48.
Thanks.
When did your career really feel like you actually were like, oh, I can make a living doing comedy now? Like a real living, like how you're living now.
Couple moments. I booked my second commercial. I did a bunch of commercials in LA. That was like,
when was that?
7 years in, six, seven.
So how old were you?
Maybe 31, 32.
So this was roughly, let's say, 15, 20 years ago. That's when, if you did a commercial, you were getting a few hundred grand to do the shoot.
No, not that much. But you could make like 20 or 30 grand. Right. But like over residuals.
Because you can't do it now.
You know, it's nothing like that. It was the tail end of it. Right. But I remember my friend going like, so once was like, it was just, okay, this just happened. You know,
right,
you got lucky. Twice is like, and he just goes, so can you just do this now? And I'm like, I think I can.
I think I can, yeah.
And then I've never had a day job since then.
Since then.
Yeah. So that was
like,
one
I mean,
big
living
moment.
Like this. Like now you're doing exceptionally
yeah.
well.
Yeah. That was when I fully gave up on everybody, gave up on Comedy Central, gave up on everybody.
Right.
Just like, I'll just do my own thing and whatever. They're never going to come calling for me.
Well, because you're one of those guys too. Like, because you said you're 48. Like, I think people started really hearing your name, like when you already had crossed the 40-year-old threshold, pretty much. Yeah, like, in a bigger way.
In the 30s. I moved here. I already had that storytelling show. It's not happening.
Oh, you were in your late 30s.
Yeah. And they're like, why are you moving now? And I'm like, I don't know. I want to go to New York.
Yeah.
Late 30s. I got here right before 40 because I was like, can't move when you're 40.
Because that's what they say with for comedians. It's like, you really only start to make it when you're late 30s, 40s.
You know yourself better. There's there's no athlete drop off for talent.
Right. Yeah, because I'm going to be 38 in a few months, and I'm like,
crushing it.
But no, but I'm like, is now like it going to, like, I feel like I got the next few years to like really, yes, I got, the, yeah, but you fucking, but you won't have a kid, but you'll do, but you're worried about diarrhea in your mouth. This guy's got acid in a fucking notebook.
It was going to blow away too. I didn't know how long it's been in there.
That'd be sick. My kid picks it up.
10 fucking hits. Dude, when I got Bert with that Molly, we had a third dose for Norm. Norm was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
He didn't come. And then Joey Diaz showed up just to entertain us and stuff. It was such a fun time. But then we couldn't find that third hit.
Is Bert mad at you for that or no?
He's done with it, but his camp has not forgiven me. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I mean, you could like go to jail for that.
I guess you can go to jail for most of the shit I do.
I mean,
graffiti.
That's what my friend said. My friend was like, "I can arrest you for jaywalk." He's a cop. He's like, "If you jaywalk, I can technically put you in prison."
Yeah,
for that.
You can go to jail for that. Like, why are you even thinking that way? I shoplift. What are you talking about? Yeah. I do so much.
Yeah. Yeah, you have acid in a notebook.
Yeah. Oof, where did I even get that? But what was I going to say? Oh, and then afterwards, we couldn't find that hit. And then Bert's kids were around. I was like, Joey, please tell me you stole that.
Yeah.
That. He goes, yeah, I stole it. I'm like, okay, good. You're allowed, but I just don't want these kids getting it.
It'll be no good. Yeah,
my nephews, my brother, I brought him a fucking big pot edible, a 250 milligram, which is like 10 doses.
Right.
And it's funny, like, it looks like a Joker kind of fun thing. And I brought it, you know, he lives in not America, so he's like, sweetie. And then the next day, he was like, all right, where'd you do it? I can't find it. I'm like, dude, I instantly knew. I'm like, there's fucking toddlers in this house.
Yeah.
And that is gummies.
Yeah.
We need to find that now.
Because that would kill
our
them.
Our sisters will never forgive us.
Yeah.
Their kid is high for 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah. I just started doing edibles. I do on my Patreon, patreon.com/ChristyComedy. Every Friday I do
it. Take a heavy one and then go for it?
Why? Because I never really did it. I call it the Chris and Eddie show because I call edibles Eddie. So I do the Chris and Eddie show where I take an edible Eddie and I do the show. And it has really been kind of cool. Like, I look forward to it on Fridays because I will say when I do the edible, that usually is the best day I have that week. Because I just – all those things that I told you about that I worry about and all that – it kind of settles me. Usually when I do the edible, my kids are home safe, but I start to think about, it's interesting. The last couple times I've taken edibles, I've started to think about, I would always think about, oh my God, what am I going to do if? And I'm like, in my head, when I'm not on edibles, I'm always like, what if this happens? What if that happens? When I'm on edibles, I'm like, let's say it did happen. My brain shifts that. Let's say it did happen. What are you going to do? And then I start to put myself in these what-if scenarios, make them reality, and say, here's how I'll deal with it.
Oh, interesting.
Here's how I'll deal with it. Here's what I'll do. And that actually calms me to have a plan.
That's Buddhist.
Yeah, it's more Buddhist.
Can you do something about it? No, then why worry? If the answer is yes, you can do something about it, then do something about it.
That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if I'm late for a flight, I'm in line, I'm going like this, like, why are they moving? And it's like, all right, this isn't helping you. You're going to go as fast as you're going to go.
One thing I do too that, and edibles started having me think about this, is if it's not going to matter in 5 months, I don't think about it for more than five minutes.
Wow.
If literally, we're going to go to the Yankee game today, we might get stuck.
What if it rains out?
What if it rains out? We're stuck in traffic and we missed the first inning. Okay, in 5 months, we won't even remember that.
Yeah.
We'll remember a moment we shared at the game. We don't care about that.
My buddy said this. He goes, he breaks stuff down into, by the way, Marissa, right here would be a great place to throw in that 3G commercial, I think. Guys, who doesn't like getting fucked up? Well, I don't know. Maybe some of you. What a fucking loser you are. Do you just live your life without getting fucked up? That's crazy. Legitimately crazy. I don't know how you do it. It's like being a fucking Olympic gymnast. The concentration it takes, the fucking stick-to-itiveness it would take to not get fucked up during the day. Wow. I don't know. But for everybody else, there's drugs. One of my favorite drugs is THC. It's marijuana. And now there's a new product called Delta 8. Delta 8 is a form of THC. It's a legal form of THC. And Delta 8 is made the best by 3chi.com. That's number 3chi.com. That's right, everybody. 3chi.com is pushing drugs on you. That's right. Judgment-inducing, driving-impairing drugs. Not judgment-inducing. Judgment-impairing. Yeah, it'll get you fucked up. It's not CBD. They want you to know it is not CBD. It is fucking THC. So, you know, don't operate a fucking crane while you're on it. Unless you got to bury a body. If you're burying a body and it's like in the trunk of a car and you got to smash it, you know what I mean? They say don't operate heavy machinery, but like use your best judgment. The cops are coming. You got to fucking smash this body. I mean, yeah, you're on a fucking heavy gummy from 3chi.com. You can't call them gummy bears anymore because they can't be shaped like bears or little children will do it. And don't let little kids do this because this is fucking straight up drugs. Yeah, then operate heavy machinery if you have to. You know what they mean, though. What they mean is you might fall asleep at the wheel. I've done that before, too, on a fucking heavy edible. So, 3chi.com, the number 3chi.com. Use promo code Ari. Get how much off your order? 5%? I think it's 5% off your order. And that's it, you guys. Let's get back to the episode. But yeah, 3chi.com. They're fucking great. They got vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils. I don't know why they keep doing with its oils to make your own fucking edibles. Just get the gummies. Just save time. Get the gummies from 3chi.com. Now let's get back to the episode. But he said, will it matter on mushrooms or not? Would this be something like I lost a $100 bill? And if you're on mushrooms, gacked out, walking through the city, you're like, I don't care.
I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. My thing is like, even, you know, I used to respond to people, like, for example, just happened. I was in Puerto Rico, right? Mm-hmm. And I had a show booked in San Juan, and I was promoting it and everything. Yeah. But when I got to Puerto Rico, the show was on Friday. I got to Puerto Rico that Sunday before. I realized, I was like, I'm thinking about the show, and I'm here to have vacation with my family, and I canceled the show.
No,
and,
really?
Yeah, I just canceled it because I was like, I don't want to do it. And my agent tried to talk me out of it, Emilio, manager, and I was like, I don't want to do it. And as soon as I canceled it, I had like this burden lifted from me, and I just enjoyed the vacation that I was paying for. And all these people started messaging me, calling me an asshole. How could you cancel? And
so you're getting your money back.
Well, that, and I used to respond to those people, but now I've been realizing I don't know you.
Right.
I'm not going to communicate with someone
I
don't know.
You do have to a little bit go, hey, I didn't want to, I'm not going to just do it for no reason. You know, I'm not just going to ruin. I get it. You had plans.
Well, no.
But, like, if there's a reason, I'm like, well, you know.
I made an announcement on my Instagram. I wrote, I said, you know, I'm sorry for the fans that bought tickets. I just thought for my own mental health and well-being, I got to step away from comedy for this week. I just want to enjoy the vacation with my family. And I had a lot of messages from people being like, go, do it, do it, do it. But you know how we are.
Yeah.
Our minds are attracted to the negative. And I was like, whoever this person was that's yelling at me on Instagram, I don't know. I don't know.
Also.
Yeah, no, it's like I don't know who you are. Like I can't do a show for you. I have to think about me. I'm here with my family. These are the people I know.
Isn't it amazing when you make a decision sometimes and immediately because you're like toiling, and then you make the decision and you go,
yes,
like right call for like, sure, right call.
Like immediately, like whatever I lost, like you know the money I lost and the tickets were selling. I was like, yeah, but I got my balance and mental health
with
back.
The exchange rate though, that's over $1 million you would have made.
1 million pesos. Yeah, yeah, dude.
Dude, I did one in DR in Dominican Republic.
You did a show?
Yeah, but I was just there just for fun. Right?
Yeah,
I had like 5 days off in between shows, and I'm like head from Boston to there, and then to San Antonio from there, and then Ian was like, hey, the comedy scene there finds out you're there. Like, do you want to do a show? I'm like, nah, I don't want to have to be anywhere.
Yeah.
And then, like, the next day, it was like, well, it's tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about that? I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll do it tomorrow.
If that would have been the case, I would have did it.
Yeah. And but then it was fun. But, like, you're right, I didn't want to have that plan the whole time. Because what if something fun came up?
Yeah. And that, I was like, and that Friday that I canceled the show, what I got to do instead, and again, it's just the way things work out, is we all went out for, like, a big family dinner because we were leaving the next day. And my daughter, my 6-year-old daughter, they played, you know, Hey There, Delilah. They had live music, and her name's Delilah. Hey There, Delilah. And I got to slow dance with my 6-year-old daughter. And it's like, that's a moment that I have now that it's like, was that worth doing stand-up in San Juan?
It's cool to do it. You will be back there and do it again.
I'll go back and do
it. Tom Segura canceled Australia twice. For the reason is he thinks Australians are dumb, and they still will come out and see a show.
He just canceled it for no reason.
He goes, I've been watching some videos on YouTube, and every Australian I see is a fucking moron. And he goes, I don't want to entertain them.
Yeah.
And he had to meet, like, I think Nick Cody had to have like a special meeting with him. Be like, hey, man, we're not all like this.
Yeah,
I get what you're saying, but like, there's some cool ones. And then he's like, all right, I'll schedule this. Canceled again. He goes, nah, man, you guys fucking suck.
He just keeps canceling Australia.
And then he keeps doing bigger shows.
I mean, well, Tom Segura's a guy who, like, if you ask, somebody actually asked me the other day, I actually, you know, this is what a dumb New York Guido I am. Yeah. This is like a big day for me because not only, you know, the Netflix special comes out, but even more.
Especially Weshy. On Netflix right now, today.
We're going to the Yankees game. And I got interviewed by the New York Post, which was always a goal of mine. I just loved
it. New York Post was the trash magazine.
I know.
They're great. I used to see people go right to the back page and hear the sayings they have on the back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Dude, I used to read it all the time when I was 15, 16 years old. And on the New York Post and the article today, and they asked me, they were like, hey, like, what comedians do you admire? What comedians? And I was like, honestly, the career I admire the most, I would say, is probably Tom Segura.
He's doing great.
He does whatever he wants. He does not adhere to any corporations.
Yeah.
Has his career completely in the hands of his fans. That's what I'm doing. I think that's what we're hopefully on our way to doing.
Segura's crushing it. And Segura's one of the few guys that are crushing it, like, business-wise. But then people, whenever there's someone like that who's crushing it, the tendency is to go, yeah, but he sucks, or stand-up is good. And then you're like, yeah, but actually, stand-up's some of the best in the world.
Yeah, Tom is just good all around.
You can't.
I like it, man.
Yeah. Can you tell when your kid lies?
Oh, yeah.
Does she ever fool you?
No, my six-year-old,
terrible.
She knows. We know when she's lying all the time. She lies actually a lot, and yeah. I used to lie a lot. I still do lie at times, but I used to lie like a lot. And there is one of those things where, you know, even my mother was like, you know, her personality is just like yours. Like, it's like she was like, you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy about, like, parenting is... Yeah. So, like, these moments are, like, foundational moments in, like, my kid's life. And then you look back at pictures and videos from my daughter, from my six-year-old, just 5 years ago, and I don't even remember that thing happening. But meanwhile, I was, like, crying that I saw her first step. And it's like, now, 6 years later, I don't even remember it. I only start to get reminded of it when my 10-month-old is doing something like, oh, shit, Delilah did that, too. So it's like these moments are passing in time. But a thing about like, genetics is wild. This is wild. So one day, my daughter's, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, the parents like, my kid's the best, my kid's funny, my kid's this, my kid's that. I don't do that. But I do think my kid's awesome, but it's like, I don't need to bore you with her. You know,
everybody does that. My kid's the best one. Yeah. Oh, no other kid has ever been this good.
My kid is the center of my life. She doesn't need to be the center of yours. I get that. But you know, my daughter was in preschool. And I go to pick her up, and the teacher, who was a preschool teacher for many years, like 20-plus years, goes, your daughter did something today that I've never seen in my 20 years of teaching a kid do. She goes, you always see the kids do the same thing. They flick a booger. They pull a hair. Like, they think it's new, but, like, as a teacher, she pretty much, like, three-year-olds are hacks. They're all hacks. She goes, but she goes, your daughter did something I've never seen. She goes, she went in. It was the wintertime. She goes, she went into the closet and started putting on all the kids' coats and then being like, look at all my coats on. Like, kind of like she was like, we were genuinely laughing at her because she looked crazy, like she had on everybody's coat. She's like, I've just never seen that done before. She's like, our father's a comedian, you know, whatever. So a couple of days go by, talking to my mom. I would go to my mom's house. I'm telling my mom that story. I'm like, Ma, Delilah did something so funny the other day. The teacher said she'd never seen it. She puts on everybody's coats. My mother goes, oh my God, comes back, has a picture, me when I was 3 years old with all the coats on. My mom was like, I didn't remember you did that until she did it. Now, never talked about it. Delilah never saw that picture. Wow. Just genetically, we have the same bits.
Wow.
Like, for some reason in our head.
Yeah, she didn't steal from you.
She didn't steal from me.
What
no.
What do they call it? Parallel thinking?
Parallel thinking.
She's like, I didn't just hack that. I didn't know he did it. But I don't watch his old shit.
But with that being said, it's like, dude, the way Delilah's lying, I'm like, my mother was like, that's what you used to do. Like, it's the same shit.
But it's like, what I hate when a kid lies is they think they're better than you.
Oh
they think
God,
they're
yeah.
going to get over on you. And you're like, it's so obvious.
Yeah.
Don't you just hate them sometimes?
Yeah, it's like that Louis C.K. bit when his says his daughter keeps calling a fig Newton a pig Newton. And he's like, it's not a pig Newton, it's a fig Newton. He's like, it's made out of figs, you fucking asshole. Yeah. How could it be a pig Newton? And it's like, you want to say that to your kids, but like, you know.
Oh, is that why his production company's called Pig Newton?
Yeah, that's such a great bit. Because
you want to be like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, my daughter thinks she knows everything.
Stupid.
Or
idiot.
The funniest thing is like when she'll yell at us and like, you know, she'll sometimes talk back and be like, this is crazy, you guys are the worst parents ever, blah, blah, blah. And then walk away and fall because she's just, you know, she's six and an idiot. You know, she'll trip over something. She doesn't know that her feet got bigger.
I told my dad he was crazy once because he couldn't find something in the fridge. And he's like, it's in there. I'm like, you're crazy. There's nothing in here. And he's like, because he's like European old school. And he was like, hey, that's never going to be allowed.
Yeah.
Don't ever say that to your father. And I was like, sorry. I didn't mean it like you're legit crazy.
Well, see, that's the thing, too, is like, you know, like with all these gender roles and stuff, it's like everyone's got a gender role until you're parenting. And that's like, no, you want the dad to be the disciplinarian and the mom to do the homework. It's
stronger.
Like,
eventually, they'll be able to overpower the mom.
Yeah.
It takes way longer to overpower the dad.
Yeah.
Especially your daughter. You'll be 70 before they can take you.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like,
yeah, I could beat the shit out of my daughter. Yeah, 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 yeah. But my daughter is really not scared of me, and she knows she has me wrapped around her fucking finger.
She knows you won't do anything.
Yeah, what am I going to fucking do? I always be like, talk to your mother. Because she's the one that builds everything. Her mother's the handyman.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm the one that like...
Because she had to rebuild Puerto Rico?
Yeah, exactly. Dude, she loves Joe. All the Puerto Ricans, all my Puerto Rican side of the family, they all love Trump.
Really?
They're all like, that's all bullshit. That was the media made that up.
The shooting.
They were like, that was like one part of a
thing. They make it so big. It's like, can you believe it? And it's like, yes, I can believe that. You're handing out, everyone's happy, and you're just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Why not? He's still giving them the shit, though, right?
The country was wet. It was flooded. He gave them paper towels to wipe up the flood.
He didn't hand it to them properly enough.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
Some of those things with Trump, I don't vote. I don't care. I think you're pretty much the same as me.
Yeah.
Where it's like, but some of them are like, hey guys, I can see this. You're not telling the truth in this fucking send up.
Yeah, and it's
you're misleading it on purpose.
Well, and it's like, it's, you know, we see it now, like with the CNN Plus going under immediately, 10,000 subscribers. It's like,
wow.
It can't, the writing's on the wall. The people have spoken, and that we know the media's lying.
They lie too much. So it's like, well, how about, are they lying here? I'm like, I don't know, but you lied to me 10 straight times.
Yeah.
So it's like a chick, which is like, this time I was home in time. Like, I don't know, lady.
Yeah,
you're a fucking cheating whore.
My thing is like, yeah, you've lied to me. It's like that boy who cried wolf. It's like, I'm just choosing not to believe
boy
you anymore.
Boy who cried wolf blitzer.
No, phew, bang, bang, bang.
Norman.
I like it.
Are there other moms and dads? Like, you have to come in, I'm guessing, you have to come in contact with people that you would not in without your kid being in the same age as, you know, as their kids.
Yeah, hang out with. Yeah,
there were. Are they like losers, dorks? Like, you know what I mean?
Dude, we took my annoyings. Daughter when we were living in Park Slope a couple of years ago. We took my daughter to a birthday party. Yeah, we took my daughter to a birthday party. Very uppity neighbor. We took my daughter to a birthday party. It was on like the roof deck of like, you know, one of the luxury buildings they lived in.
Yeah.
And we get there and I see like naked, like 4 and 5, 6 year olds running around. I was like, "What the fuck is this?"
I thought you were gonna say adults.
So I go
no
in.
One's clothing. Yeah.
So I go in. And we're like, you know, we're here for the birthday party. And I see the parents. And they're like, oh, hey, come in. And I'm like, yeah. Why is everyone naked? It's like weird. They go, oh, yeah. They're like, you know, like with children, like we think like everyone should be free. And, you know, they're just kids. Like explore their bodies. Like we're okay with it if your child. And I was like, we're leaving. Like we're genuinely leaving. And I if somebody told me that, I wouldn't believe it. But I was there. And I was like.
They're trying to gimmick hippies? Out
yeah,
of
like
kids?
There was like this commune of like naked weird people. And I was like, no thanks. And then there was another guy that like, he wanted to like, I don't know, dude. He like, first of all, he showed up for a play date and he had on, you know, he came in with like one of those, like his kid on a scooter. And it's kind of like a thing for me where I'm like, listen, we're all teach their own, whatever it is. But it's like, if you're a father with kids, get a fucking car, dude. Get a fucking car. What are you doing? Like, I was just like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? You're on a scooter? I was like, dude.
You're the role model for this kid?
I had to put the scooter in the trunk and drive them home because it was raining. I'm like.
Oh, my God. He didn't plan for that?
Yeah.
What would you have done?
I want to turn around to his daughter and be like, you know your dad's a fucking pussy, right?
Lead your own path.
Yeah, yeah. And then I knew for a fact, I told Jazz, I was like, I guarantee you him and his wife get divorced. He was like, they love each other. They got divorced like 6 months ago. Because eventually a woman says, this guy's such a pussy.
You can't respect him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
I love these people when I started going out like at 17.
Yeah.
And now they're 26 and they've always been together. They're like, you liked him because he had access to his mom's basement.
That's what it is.
He's a loser now with no job. That's
exactly.
The shit that goes into it now is way
dude,
off.
Dude, what's so crazy about like high school stuff, like I played basketball in high school and I remember I would look up to the kids who were like on the starting five and who eventually went on to get like Division I, Division II scholarships. And I looked at all them and I was like, oh my God, I felt like such a loser compared to them because all the girls love them or whatever. And I'm like here with a mushroom haircut. And now they're like real estate agents.
Yeah.
Which is good. Shout out real estate agents. Fine. But it's like. Oh, like that was one small part of life. Like, I'd rather be in my shoes where it's like, I'm not doing any of that.
Yeah, how much do you think Bill Gates wants to go back to the bullies in high school and be like, who's a nerd now?
Yeah, fucking idiot.
Who's a nerd now?
You
I
judge,
just solved malaria.
Yeah, for 4 years of high school, you thought this was going to be my life?
Yeah.
Like some of these
I had glasses and I read? Well, guess what? It served me.
I know, dude. One of the star players of the team, great guy. I saw him recently. He's like 350 pounds, bald, looks like a fat fucking idiot. And at that time, he was jacked, the man, every girl wanted him. Now it's like, you look at him and be like, this guy's hideous.
Yeah.
But at that time, he thought his life was going to be that.
Do you remember? I don't know if you had this, but after, because I was a very conservative upbringing, like, you know, Orthodox Jews and just like.
Oh, I thought you meant Republican.
No, it's just socially conservative. Yeah. But like, you know, 2 years in a comedy, my friends are like, "What are you doing?"
Right.
Like, so you're temping still?
Right.
To make ends meet? He goes, "I just got my first promotion and I'm about to get my second one."
Yeah.
Dude, you better start or you're fucked.
Right.
And then whatever it was, one of the class reunions, you see a few of those people like, fuck, I wish I had your life.
Exactly.
I don't know when it switched, but.
Yeah, something happened where, like, I remember when I first started comedy, one of my friends, he goes, yeah, but what are you really going to do? That's not
what
a career.
What are you really going to do? I get it. It sounds ridiculous.
Right. So you can most people don't ever make it.
Right.
That's the truth. Most people, like.
You forget all the people who are like, oh, yeah, that guy. He did like 4 years.
Yeah, no. I remember Chris Mazzilli. Owner of Gotham Comedy Club. That's how I started. I started taking comedy classes at Gotham Comedy Club in like 2009.
Who taught?
Jim Mendrinos.
I know the name.
Yeah. And I remember, and even him, I remember like being like, oh my God, that'd be great to be that guy. Now it's like he does comedy, but, and I, no disrespect to him, I just don't know if he's like really in the game anymore.
Yeah.
And whatever, teach our own. But I just remember at the time being like, oh shit, like it'd be great to be that guy. And then now I'm like, no. And
crazy.
But I remember Chris Mazzilli came in and he was like, look, it's a class of 20 people or 19 people. And he goes, he comes in and it was like he dropped in. The classes were Sunday at 4 p.m. And he dropped in and he goes, and Jim Mendrinos was like, oh, this is the owner. He never really comes in, but he wants to say a few words to you guys. And Chris is so cool, so professional. He's like, you know, a lot of you guys are doing comedy. Thank you for choosing Gotham Comedy Club. You know, we wish you all the best. He goes, but the reality is I'm a comedy club owner in New York City. The reality is, none of you are probably going to make it.
No fucking way.
He goes, the truth is none of you are going to make it because most of you want to do this as a hobby. He goes, maybe one of you will be listening to me. Maybe one out of the 19 of you. Maybe one will hear this. He goes, I would say there's an astronomical chance zero of you will ever headline my club. You won't be professional comedians and they'll do it as a hobby. He goes, I'm only telling you that to say this is the hardest thing you could possibly embark on. So if you want to do it, he goes, you need to think about this like as if you were in the NBA. Does the NBA player only go casual and play the games? No, he's working on his jump shot, his left hand, his right hand. He is eating, sleeping, breathing basketball. That's what you need to do for comedy. Maybe one of you heard it, most likely zero. And I remember being like, I'm going to be the fucking one that hears that. I'm going to be the one that hears that. And that changed everything for me because I was playing basketball and it hooked me in. And then I started doing open mics every night, burning the candles at both ends. And then I finally, in 2017, I got booked to headline there, and I told him that story, and he was like, "I don't remember that."
Different guy.
Yeah. Like, I was like, "No, you said it, dude."
I love it. Like, I didn't say that. I'm like, it wasn't a big moment for you.
Yeah, it was.
Like, so you should remember.
It was the defining moment of my life, but you probably said it in between fucking cigarettes.
Yeah, my sister said that. I told a story about her once doing something to something when I was little, like bullying me in some way. Right. She goes, "That didn't happen." I'm like, it just came and went for you.
Yeah,
it defined me.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Of course I remember. You wouldn't remember.
Yeah.
What was I gonna say? I have some other stuff about being a parent. This is funny.
Yeah, because I mean, there's not too many parents. I mean, there's me, Big J.
Yeah, Dave Smith now.
Dave Smith.
Yeah, not
Lewis.
That many. Oh yeah, Gomez.
Yeah,
I guess bad parents count.
I was gonna say there's not too many good people.
How do you know when you've had enough kids? Like you're thinking of getting that fucking snip, right?
I feel good. If I only got the two daughters, I would feel good now. One child, I felt inadequate.
Really?
Yes, I felt like I only have one kid. It's nothing. Now to say I have kids to me sounds better than I have a kid. Yep.
Yeah.
I have a kid kind of feels like, all right, well then, you know, one, if you're going to have a family, have a family. Don't be a pussy and have one. Because I was an only child, and I hated being an only child.
Are you thinking of having that, having the surgery?
No. I don't want to do it.
Chance it.
Only because I feel like I would. It's not about, I don't want to have any more kids. Not about I want to have more kids. It's I feel like, I don't know, almost like my prowess as like a man. Like, I almost feel like
it's robbed you of it if you can't knock somebody up.
Like, I almost feel like I want to fucking be able to spread the seed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Even if you
I wanted to.
Yeah. No, I get that.
Do you ever feel emasculated by the surgery?
I do until I just blow a hot load into some fucking scaz.
Nice,
and
dude.
And then I'm
right to some guy's ass.
Yeah. And like, you can't get a fucking dude's ass pregnant, but now you definitely can't.
Now you definitely can't, bitch. What if you fell in love with a woman who wanted children?
She's fucked.
What it is.
Yeah.
Would you let her have it get like artificially inseminated by somebody else?
No, that'd be real. Do real insemination.
Like you'd want to get cucked out.
Yeah, I want to get tied to a chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ball gag, and that's my kid.
Yeah. No.
Well, could you...
Don't, please pull out. I can't have a kid.
Well, with the vasectomy, though, like, I could still get your sperm, and you could have a kid if you wanted to. It's just not going to be the regular way. Like, if I want to get your sperm and
do
the in vitro...
Yeah, you could go fish into the balls, get it from the source before it goes through the tube.
Yeah, and then get it. It's just the tubes, they cut
off the tube.
Got it.
Yeah, I think so.
But, dude, Antonio Cromartie got a vasectomy and had two more kids after that.
No, how?
Because he fucked... It's 99%, yeah. Not a hundo.
They said to Renazzisi when he got a first of all.
Renazzisi got a vasectomy? Mm-hmm.
He had two kids, though.
Oh, he had two kids. He was like, I don't want any more.
Yeah, exactly. So they're like, let's just do it.
Wow.
And his doctor was like, all right, we got to make sure, you know, there is a percentage chance. He goes, doctor, if I get my wife pregnant, I'm murdering this whole office.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's 100% or you're fucked.
Or you're fucked, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, so he's happy with it then just after
he loves it. We both have the same little peanut in there. We should do a podcast about it, actually.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Are you worried about screwing them up at all?
Yes.
That's what I'd be worried about. Anything, because I don't know how to, I'm not a parent. I didn't go to school for this. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a doctor knows some things.
Yeah.
I'm not a behavioral.
Therapist, yeah.
Like, how would you do it?
Like, even now, like, my daughter, my oldest one, is always on her tablet and gets, like, visibly upset when you take her tablet away. Yeah. And I'll yell at her, and then I'll be like, well, what is she seeing? Dad on the phone all day. Dad tweeting all day. Dad with his face in his phone all day.
Damn.
So then I get mad at myself and I'll start yelling at myself. Be like, why don't you be a fucking good example for your daughters and society and get off the fucking phone, you little pussy. Wow. Like, I'll say shit like that to myself all the time. And because my daughter's just seeing, she's like, I don't understand why I have to be on the iPad if dad's on the phone all the time. And then, like, what's my response? Like, but then I start to get mad. I'm like, well, I want to be on the phone. You know, like, just like she wants to be on the iPad.
You're an addict too.
I'm an addict too. Yeah. So I worry about, because my dad was a gambler.
Dopamine.
I felt like I took, like, a lot of risks, like, sexually. And I just worry that what addictive gene my daughter will have. Because I know she will have it.
Or just try not to have it. Because if she has it, she has it.
If she has it, she has it.
Get her into jogging over.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just hope that it's not drugs. For me, it wasn't drugs. I was 100% a sex addict.
You went swimming.
So I went swimming.
Yeah.
My dad was a gambler. And I just 100% hope that she's not addicted to drugs, that she gets addicted to the right thing. That's just what I hope.
It's even one of those where I'm like, when do you tell? Because I'm saying the most innocuous. If she's 27 and you find out she has a joint, you wouldn't care at all, right?
I wouldn't care
at all. So at what point do you go, well, let me guide you? Or do they have books about this? Let me guide you, tell you how to do it correctly and properly.
I'll tell you what. I'd rather be the parent that I'm in between your friend and authority. I don't want you to be scared of me, but I don't want you to think like you can just be my friend here and we're gonna like smoke pot together. I want you to be able to tell me anything. I want to create that environment. I'd rather be the father that gives you condoms and says, rather than telling you abstain from sex and don't have premarital sex, I'd rather be like, you're gonna have sex, so please, here's about being protected.
Yeah.
And if something does go awry, if you're drinking on drugs or get pregnant early, you call me and I will deal with it. I will have a conversation with you. I won't shun you. I'll never. The parents that throw their kids out of the house, I never understood that. I'm like, I would never.
It's gonna be worse for them.
Yeah, listen. My job is to protect you and raise you, and I'm going to throw you out now? No, dude. When a parent throws a kid out of the house, they're really failing on themselves. They're really I give up because I suck as a parent, you know?
Yeah.
And I listen, here's the truth. You know, I felt like I dealt with some sex addiction stuff. Jasmine did a lot of drugs when she was a teenager, in her early 20s. Like, they're you know, signs point towards my daughter could have some addictions. Again, I think that all I could do is hope and pray that she, you know, goes towards, like you said, sports, something that's healthy, as healthy as it can be, you know?
Or if you're going to have sex with an Italian guy, you have to make sure to tell him to pull out.
Exactly.
Like,
make sure.
Not, you think it's obvious, but they're idiots.
Just pull out, because you are half Puerto Rican, so you will
get
pregnant immediately.
Pregnant. Yeah. Before it even comes.
Yeah.
Your body's
just
already
right
starting.
Away.
Were doctors like debilitating cost-wise?
No, actually, you know what's interesting is, and I checked this.
By the way, Speci Weshi out now on Netflix. Make sure to watch it. Chris D's a great comic. Yeah,
thank you, baby. I've checked this multiple times. You know, because Jazz didn't really work. Her income was like low enough to like be on the threshold. She's on Medicaid, right?
Oh, really?
And my kids are on Medicaid. But I called the government. I called Medicaid. I said, I make X. Like, I could put them on my insurance. They said, no, keep her on Medicaid.
Why?
because they were like, you guys are not married.
And you're not married. So
this is what the Hasidic Jews do. The Hasidic Jews are like big on this. Like they have so much money, but they're all on Medicaid because they don't legally, they're not married in the state of New York.
They get a ketubah.
Exactly.
They get the fucking Jew marriage. And yeah. They're like, why are we even involved in the government? Yeah, you would think to save money on taxes, but they're like, they're smarter than you guys think.
Yeah. And I've called and I've said, and they said, nope, keep her on Medicaid. So actually, I never really dealt with any big medical bills, but I've been willing.
Medicaid's good. Medicaid like pays.
Yeah. And they get the best doctors, the best care. I'm like, wow. I'll pay for health care. It's my kids. And they said, they've told me time and time again, I've tried to call them. And reversed it, and they said, nope, you have to keep them on Medicaid. I was like, okay.
Because, I mean, when I take Bandit to the vet, it's like every third time it's like $400, $700. Yeah. And it's just like, God damn, it adds up. And I couldn't imagine with a kid. But you're saying insurance pretty much pays for all that shit?
So far insurance paid, but even it, yeah. And, I mean, listen, it costs money like, you know, private school.
What
like,
about the mouth to feed and the clothes that all they that, don't grow in fucking 7 minutes?
That, but you know what, dude? To be honest, man, diapers aren't really that much. And not as much as you think. Their clothes are, it's kid prices. So it's like, you know, I'll buy her a nice pair of Jordan sneakers, but they cost $50. You know, right. Like, it's not really, dude, I'm telling you, man, kids are not as expensive as you think. Now, when we get to college, if we even want her to go that route by the time it comes, I mean, then you're talking 50, 60, 70 grand a year. But like, even her private school, it's the best, I think one of the best private, $1,300 a month.
A month.
A month.
Okay.
It's not
15 grand
I mean,
a year. Yeah, it's about where we were.
Yeah, but it's like, 15 grand a year. Like, we're in a place now where it's like lucky enough, like, I can make that in a weekend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then no metal detectors. You have to go through and fucking.
No, dude. Like, no, she's good. Yeah, man. And it's like, we're all, you know, and she's getting taught about gender the way we got taught about gender.
Yeah.
Men are at the top.
Somebody, Kim Congdon, left a comment on I had a storytelling
I love
show.
Kim Congdon.
Yeah, she's the best in Nashville.
Yeah.
And somebody threw a joint up on stage and Dan sort of took it. And I don't know if she meant getting free weed or just a lineup of. Well, Sal's not really white, but mostly white guys.
Yeah.
She goes, God, I wish I was white. And we're like, yeah, it's awesome. We're number one.
Yeah.
You should wish you were.
Yeah.
Because we crush it.
Yeah. We're fucking what? I mean, I get it.
No fear of getting raped. When I walk my dog, none.
Zero.
Maybe they'll, robbed, but.
They'll rape Bandit before they
rape
you.
Rape Bandit. I'll scream no, but they'll be like, hey, then why'd you bring the chair and the rope if you don't want to get cucked on this?
You want to get fucking cucked on this, dude. Yeah. I know.
was there anything? Let's wrap this up. It goes to the Yankees. But was there anything you wish you had known about kids before you fucking blew that load? That you're like, I wish somebody had told me this or that.
Really genuinely wish that I would have known about how much mental energy being a parent takes. The amount of mental energy that it takes to be a parent on a regular good day is exhausting. And that's why. You know, I used to have an anxiety disorder. I used to worry about so much this and that. I don't anymore. Because sometimes people will still talk to me like, oh, how do you deal with your anxiety? And I'm like, have kids. Because for me, what happened is something happened. Like inside of me, I was like, you can't spend your mental energy thinking if the pain in your foot is a tumor. Because what you have to do is be present for your daughters. So maybe it is a tumor. Maybe it isn't. You'll know, you'll cross that bridge when it gets there. What you need right now is to be mentally present because your children need you, and that's what changed. But that is a lot. So my mental energy all day is thinking about my kids and how I can help them in life, and it's exhausting. And I would like to get to the place where I can just relax, but I think I've just accepted the fate of what a parent is. And
Even if they go to college, you're still like, fuck, I hear date rape's crazy there. I hear you might get robbed. What if you fail? What if it's like, it wouldn't just stop.
Because I think about myself as a kid. I was a pretty good kid, and I was in multiple near-death situations, accidentally, because I'm just being a dumb teenager. And sometimes you survive them, sometimes you don't.
Yeah. Everywhere I went, Southeast Asia, where I got into one of those moments, like, that was a step away from dying.
Yeah.
I imagine my mom. Like, thank God she can't see this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She'd be like, what the fuck?
Fuck are you doing?
You don't even know how to ride a moped. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. And even my mom, like, nervous, always asking me a million questions. I get it now.
Yeah.
I get it. But I think ultimately, you know, you got to just accept it. Nothing's changing. And I couldn't imagine my life without the kids. So now that's what it is. We move forward. And I just accept that, hey, man, I'm never going to relax. Edibles are helping me. And I jerk off a lot.
Dude, I just got a memory, like you said, of whatever, of my mom. I was working the phones at the Comedy Store. She's like, explain the situation there. I'm like, well, you know, you get showcased, you try to get passed, become a paid regular. She goes, what? I'm like, then you become paid. And she goes, how much do you get paid? I'm like, I think the spots, that's like $15. And she was like, Ari, you can't live on that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, they're workouts, but I know. Yeah. But just that idea of like, oh, you're dumb. I still have to lead you, yeah, even though you're 26 years
yeah
old.
Yeah. I used to get mad at my mom when I would think back when I told her I was leaving my job as a physical therapist at a doctor's degree to go do stand-up, and she didn't support me, and I would get mad at her, be like, my mom didn't believe in me. It's like, oh, she was right.
She was right.
My mom was just like, why would you? You were making 60 grand and you had health
why
benefits.
Why would you give that up?
What are you doing? She was like, to go do what? To be on Guy Code where they talk about hiding your boner?
But dude, I know former lawyers who are like, I'm a stand-up now, and for every Geraldo, there's 17 fucking
way
you know,
more
Kevin Rooks.
Yeah, just fucking Horowitzes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, and his wife's like, come, what the fuck are you doing? You are on the partner track. Yeah. What are you doing?
What are you doing? Shout out my lawyer, Seth Horowitz. Good guy.
I can tell he's a good lawyer.
I got a Berkowitz and a Horowitz.
That's
I can't
great
lose, baby.
You can't lose.
And a fucking Shafir.
You just got to get a Weinberg and you're good.
That's why I got a Shafir, dude.
You got a Shafir.
Have
that's
no,
good.
I yeah have no Shafir.
guys, the fucking special is out on Netflix right now. Chris is one of the best comics in the city. Thereby the world. Every time I see jazz in New York, I'm like, these are some of the best in the city. I'm like, you mean anywhere in the world?
Yeah,
then
you mean
the,
yeah,
New York City.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like that place across the street from the Comedy Cellar, the Blue Note. It's like, if you're playing jazz in there, you're like world renowned.
Yeah, yeah. You don't yeah just like, there's no open mic there.
Yeah, you don't just get in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you so, take yeah all that shit for granted. But guys, go check it out right now. And tell you what, if you like it, fucking reach out to him on Instagram. He's still on Twitter.
Still on Twitter, baby.
Or Twitter if you're on there.
Twitter.
Get off Twitter.
I just cleared it. I just started deleting my tweets from 3 years ago.
May as well. What are they doing
what
for
the hell,
you?
Yeah.
They're only going to bring it out. Yeah, before the special comes out, get rid of all of it. Get rid of all of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Clear it before they look.
That's what it is.
Wait, what was I just going to say?
Yeah, special oh Weshy, May 3rd.
Reach out. Tell them which was your favorite bit.
Thank you.
Tell them, I don't know. I'll do the same.
Come see a show, dude, because I'm going oh off yeah the road for 3 months. So.
Hold on. Let's do, okay, now we put a commercial on. So thank you very much. Chris DiStefano, you can see him at Christy Comedy.
ChristyComedy.com. I'm going to be at...
No. Let's do it now. Okay. So now we're going to drop it in.
Great. Great.
I swear to have my art in exhibitions in a minute. Not just a rapper to these rappers. I swear I'm their father figure. I'm going... Yeah, I'm your father figure, ooh. I swear I'm your father figure, ooh. No, you, I'm your father figure. Not just a rapper to these rappers, I swear I'm your father figure, ooh. Dearly beloved, if it's merely a budget, I'm clearly above it. My skin and my hair is Nigerian colored and does what the Aryans doesn't. If you purely a puppet, then you really be stuck in it and you a suffix. I don't wanna be toughest, I just keep it 100 and think nothing of it. Timidly talking ain't part of my chemistry. I'm an OG, is you kidding me? I see what you giving me, be it your liberty. Still what I see is stupidity. You lacking humility, seeking validity. Shake the mistaken identity. These lacking ability jokers is killing me. Literally wasting my energy. That's only a fact. They'll never hold me, I only adapt. You shouldn't have told me your homie could rap. They shouldn't have shown me the Toby in fact. I'm blacker than black, or packaging crack, or packing a Mac in the back of the act. I'm saying I'm something spectacular. Don't at me, I'm biomolecular. Don't Google the aftermath, don't bother. Everything left on the floor is the lava. These nuts, George Washington Carver. What you want, boy? I'm a piranha, I'm a pariah, I am Nirvana. I am a king coming out of Wakanda. I run into you, won't show us a problem. I'ma be honest, I am your father figure. Yeah, I'm your father figure, ooh. I swear I'm your father figure, ooh. No, you, I'm your father figure. I'm just a rapper to these rappers, I swear I'm your father figure, ooh.
African estate, grass and grapes. Masculine and slave master hate. Exactly when they emasculate. Congratulate gay or master hate. Ask the black lady to shake. They fascinated, they masturbate. The black parade straight exacerbates the actual hate they imaginate. That's when they raise it straight. Harasses as they evacuate. Imagine wearing a mask and where can't imagine making it past the day. Hell is hated, heavens are elevated. Melanated masquerade. You celebrate, they are vaccinate. You separate, they assassinate. Weapons mastered, yes they active. Yes they matter, mash to ray. Rep they blackness, leather jackets, black beret. Pass the mace, Ice Cube, Jam Master J. Trunks of jewelry, come through and truly. Trump security, Grand Master J. Gucci Kami out of Luciano. To Armani, I'm a Muliano. Drove her out and hit the Neiman's in Cabo. Gulp the model, made a Venus de Milo. Spend a lot at the Palazzo. Send you hollow semiatos, powder blue Diablo. Probably pop a copper to the honor Brianna and Amadou Diallo. They tracking the African breed, the patent the seas. They snatching the apple from Adam and Eve. The patent the seas, attack chemically, the patent disease. I rep murder, violence, methane bars, jet stream guard. You rep Turtle Island, just ain't Charles, Epstein's Law. And that's King Talk, my queen shopping in L.A. See me out in that green drop, that thing not a Chevy. Beam on top of that slingshot, Glock scene, sophist dwelly. And things start to fall apart like Chinua Achebe.
Yeah, I'm your father figure, ooh. I swear I'm your father figure, ooh. No, you.
I'm your father figure, not just a rapper to these rappers. I swear I'm a father figure.
Well, that's the episode, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to watch Speshy Weshy right now on Netflix. I keep wanting to say Netflix.com. It's not that. It's just Netflix. Everybody has an app. Just go to it. Anyway, Speshy Weshy. It's Chris D's newest special. I am recording mine June 12th, Sunday, and June 11th in Brooklyn, New York. You definitely want to get tickets. Get tickets right now and invite a couple friends. It will be first come, first serve on seats for the people who get tickets, so you want to show up early, but there's no bad seats there. It's such a fucking cool, tight. There's a balcony, so you can sit in the front of the balcony looking down. There's all the seats. It's like on the it's just a cool, tight venue, so there's no bad seats there. They will be serving some beers, I believe, for purchase for like $5 or $10 or whatever New York prices are. But then, you know, whatever. Have fun. Get high. Get a little tuned up beforehand. Don't heckle. We have the fucking don't heckle. And just have a blast, you guys. It's just going to be a great show. I know it's a taping. It's just going to be a great show. You're not going to notice. That's the way I do tapings. Where you don't notice you're at a taping. There's none of this. Let's hear some applause. Now let's hear some fucking oohs. And then we'll tell that in. I don't do that. I've never done that. I found it disgusting. And so does the crowd. I just put on a great fucking show. Oh, you guys should have been at that fucking show last night. You should have been at that show last night. That This Is Not Happening show, or Ari Shaffir's Renamed Storytelling show. Oh, go to my Instagram right now. You'll see who was on it. Marissa made a little video. Yeah. Go on there right now. You'll see who was on it. Get tickets to the next one. And get tickets to AriShaffir.com. /tour. Get tickets to Ari Shaffir Jew. All right. So anyway, if you liked it, this episode, go tell Chris D. Thank you very much for joining into this. If you didn't like it, I don't know. How could you not like that? It was very honest. It was very honest. The saying that he misses out on certain things, it's like you'll rarely get a parent that will allow you to do that. And by the way, I never got back to the abortions. Two different abortions. I wonder how much they cost now. And I wonder if it gets too cost restrictive if you could just do it yourself. You know all these like feminist women that really want to have an abortion, like Lena Dunham. She was like, I wish I could have an abortion. It's like, you can just fucking let dudes blow loads on you. It will require not using a condom and not using so much cake. If you can get those two things done, then get a guy to blast a load inside you. However, you are rich, so there are a lot of dudes who would love to link up with a fat, white, rich white chick. Those dudes specifically are called black dudes. And they love a fat, rich white chick. So Lena Dunham, if you want to have that abortion, go ahead. Find yourself some black dudes and let them blow loads in that pussy. Then you'll have your abortion. They'll probably convince you not to. For the first time ever, a black dude will probably be like, no. I want you to have that baby. And then she's like, I just want to be a mom and raise this kid. And they're gonna be like, no. Go back to work. $400, $450, something like that. Is it still cost that much? Do you know how hard it is to convince somebody to have an abortion? Ari, idea. Do a podcast about abortions. Maybe get one or two women who have had an abortion. Are there any comics who've had an abortion? Hey, any comics out there who've had an abortion want to come in on this podcast and talk about it? That'd be a fun one. We will get some flack for that. Do you ever get sick of the stories with all like, so-and-so, the backlash to so-and-so? You're like, oh, there's backlash to everything. It's so fucking dumb already. And it's like you focus on it, but it's like it's so dumb. There's going to be some backlash to anything you do. Almonds. There's literally a backlash to almonds. Look it up. Almonds. They're like, well, it takes too much water to... Almonds are taking heat for their role in ruining the ecosystem in Mexico. Mexico. You never cared about Mexico. You care a little about Mexico City and a little bit about where the fucking hookers are. And that's all you give a shit about. None of you give a shit about fucking Oaxaca. Anyway. Well, that's the episode. I hope you liked it. Chris, I want to go to more Yankee games with you.
you'd fucking do it right, bro. He's just, everybody saw him too. Everybody's like, Christy. Oh my. I didn't listen. I know he's gotten bigger. I know he's like blowing up. It didn't hit me how much he's blowing up until we were leaving and all these kids fucking lost their minds seeing him. They wanted pictures. They wanted pictures so much. I mean, so many people. It was like we couldn't move. Christy's turned into like a real fucking celebrity, which I love. I love. He did my storytelling show in Montreal in like 2016 or something like that. He did it at the Gramercy too. I think that's why he recorded there. And he fucking blew it up. 2016, 2017. Maybe 2016. And crushed, dude. Fucking crushed. And I'm like, this guy's got to be more famous. And now he's not just more famous. He's a fucking star. It's cool. I all these New Yorkers now are just becoming stars. And it's really cool. DeStefano, Sam Morril, and Mark Normand from the We Might Be Drunk podcast that I was on this week. I mean, Sal and DeRosa's even blowing up. And fucking, you know. And I'm not talking about physically. That he's actually, I can't even say that. DeRosa stays the same fucking overweight weight always. He eats a steady diet of KFC and tequila, and he somehow just doesn't gain weight more than the slightly overweight that he is. It's wild. He should be studied for science. He should be studied for science, and murdered for social good. Well, I guess that's the episode. I don't know what I was just talking about right now, but I don't think it matters. Tune in next week. Joe List will be on. Oh, make sure to check out Joe List's special on YouTube as well. Not only check out Speci Weshi on Netflix, then head over to YouTube, watch Joe List's new special called This Year's Material. It's only been out for like since Friday, so only been out for a few days, so you're seeing it live. And spread the word on both those specials to everybody. Yeah, who else has been blowing up? Sal, he's been blowing up. I feel like Jay and Bobby Kelly's having a rebirth. And like, I don't know, man. I feel like the New York scene is not just blowing up in fame. Oh, Andrew Schulz, obviously. Shane. It's not just they're blowing up, but they're also like, people are starting to recognize like they're the real deal comics. So the LA comics are bigger, but, you know, they're like fame hungry. Like, they're just like showbiz people. Not all, and not completely, but like, definitely you could feel it. LA's more showbiz, and New York is more like real comedians. So, it's fucking cool to see how now it's catching on with the world, but like, actually, we want some real comedians, and it's just fucking blowing up. Anyway, you guys, thank you very much for tuning in. Next week, Joe List will be here with hopefully Luis Gomez and hopefully Bobby Kelly in a fucking superstar lineup. And then that's it. Make sure to subscribe. Check me out. Jacksonville next week. Sorry, no. Louisville this coming week with Caitlin Palufo. Kansas City the week. Jacksonville the week after that with Adrian. Kansas City the week after that with Anthony DeVito. Austin at Cap City the May 24th through the 30th. 29th. May 24th through the 29th. And then Ari Shaffir Jew. The final showings, June 11th and 12th in New York City, Brooklyn. That's it, you guys. Oh, and the Vic Theater in Chicago, June 18th, and Minneapolis, the Pantages, June 17th, which is not Ari Shaffir Jew. I'm having a lot of fun with this Jew Hour, and I'm like going to be sad to let it go. I'm ready to let it go, but I'm going to be sad. I'm looking at all these fucking note cards I have of all the different fucking things I'm covering and all the... In case you're wondering, it's just club funny material. You don't have to worry about the theme. That I'll do for you. But it's just like a regular hour of stand-up like you would see from anybody. But it's the best one I've ever done. I'm not saying that lightly. It's the best one I've ever done. Easily. So come on. Get tickets right now. And I'll see you there. It will sell out. So you'll want to be there. Just like these storytelling shows. You'll want to be there. Thank you, everybody, and have a good day. Go Yanks!